Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 12? In verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." You can't address every group with these words, but you can address our society, and I can address you with these words. Because most of us are living a life of abundance. We're not in need. In fact, the four-letter word that governs the thinking of much of our society is the word more. I want more. We want more. That clouds our thinking. It disrupts our souls because we can't do what the song we just heard says we should do. Because we're so involved in getting more that we can't see Him. I don't know your backgrounds. I'm thankful you're here today. We want to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus. Now, a man comes to Jesus, and Jesus was a recognized rabbi. But unfortunately, this man who comes to Jesus only sees him as a rabbi, only sees him as a teacher. Now, in those days, the rabbis did give their advice on monetary issues. They would solve monetary problems in families. So it wasn't out of the ordinary that this man who came to Jesus said to him, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He was occupied with getting something more. Now, we live in a society that's occupied with finances and money and good things. And we all have these things. We all know what that means. We all can identify with this man. And so you've heard on television, heard on the radio, maybe you've been to churches, that if you join the Christian community, you'll get more. You'll be wealthy. You'll have money. Your problems will be solved. Hallelujah. You're rich. Get the money. Years ago in Quebec, a man came to an assembly from this community, rapped on the door because he didn't know what to do. And they let him in. Well, yes, come on in. He said, "I want to be saved off the street." Wow, isn't that great? They said, well, yes. What do I have to do? Well, you do this and that, and you trust in Jesus. And, all right, I'll do all that, but when do I get my money? What money? Well, they told me if I came here and said that, I would get $180. So when do I get my money? I beg your pardon. Now, this man comes to Jesus, but he came to the wrong Jesus. Notice what Jesus says to this man. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" I'm not just a rabbi. I'm not going to do what the rabbis usually do. You've come to the wrong person. That's not why I am here. I am not here so that you can divide your inheritance properly. Now, be careful. I don't know your background. There are all kinds of Jesuses presented to you in our society and all kinds of religions. Be careful now. I plead with you. Be careful. If you do not know the correct Jesus, you'll be damned. You'll be lost. One of Matthew's passages, people were casting out demons in the name of Jesus. They were doing wonderful works in the name of Jesus. And God says, I never knew you. The Lord Jesus said, I never knew. Depart from me. I don't know you. Because they didn't really know who Jesus was. Now, maybe you're coming from a background, theism. God is never named. You notice that? I said this last week. God is never, they never put a name on God. And you grew up in a family where you believed in God. Oh, yes. Jesus was a good person. Jesus did wonderful things. You believe in an historical Jesus. He was a teacher. And it's possible he did do some miracles. And I believe that. I believe in this historical Jesus. But it's the wrong Jesus. He is an historical person. He did do miracles. So Jesus wants to clarify this man's thinking about himself. Maybe your thinking needs to be clarified as to who Jesus really is. In Romans 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You've got to accept Jesus as God. Nothing less will help you. If you do not believe that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, you are never going to come to newness of life in him. You are never going to be saved. Now that's difficult. Because in our society we hear a lot of religious jargon. A lot of religious symbolism, a lot of religious ideas, a lot of Christian thinking. But we miss the main crucial point. The Lord Jesus is not here to solve our physical, financial problems. The Lord Jesus did not come to make you feel better. Watch out, verse 15. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Oh. What's this all about? What are you saying? You mean I have to come to Jesus in a different way? Isn't he just going to make it all easier for me and solve all my problems and get me out of debt? And no, he's not. See, God wants to speak to your soul. God wants to speak to the real you, where you are, the inner man. the real person that you are. And that person is lost. And that person is sinful. And that person is without God. And that person is without hope. Well, that's not what people say. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. You know, I read the book. You're okay. I'm okay. Come on. We're okay. Everybody's fine. And I watch television, and I watch all these people and these personalities on television, and, you know, everybody's so wonderful and fine. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about sin. I don't like that. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. That's why Jesus came. This is God. He is God manifested in the flesh. Okay. Now, if I'm going to come to him, I have to acknowledge before him that I'm lost. I'm without hope. I am a sinner. What are you saying? Well, I have all these good things. I have a good job. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good person. Ask Oprah Winfrey. She says we're all good persons. Do a good deed, and you'll be all right. Sure. Garbage. Excuse me. We have to face the reality of who we are in the presence of God, who's made himself known through nature and through scripture and through conscience. Paul tells us that in the first three chapters of Romans. And after he tells us that the man who is a man of conscience, the man who is a religious man, or the man who has no understanding of God, who is in a society which we call pagan, when he's revealed all of humanity, he says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So this man, out of the ordinary circumstances of life, comes to Jesus and he asks, you know, for a simple request, the teacher, be careful. Because you name the name of God, does that make you a child of God? Not necessarily. Maybe you grew up in a church group where the name of God was extolled and everything was wonderful and it was a majestic feeling and a holiness in that group, but you've never fully understood who Jesus was. You never really fully understood who you were. You didn't put them together. You didn't put the sinner before the Savior at the cross. But that doesn't feel good. I mean, if you tell me I'm a sinner, that's terrible. And if you tell me I'm lost, that's horrible. That's going to cause nightmares. That's going to cause deep feelings of lostness. What are you doing? Well, that's where we need to be. We've got to realize that we're not just dealing with God and pinching elbows and saying, you're okay, God, I'm okay. I got all this pseudo-psychology filling my brain, and I can't really be that, but you are. I am. We're lost. We're sinners. We need a Savior. You know the name Jesus means Savior? You realize that? He came to save us from our sins. This Jesus who is of God. who was sent by the Father. Watch out, verse 15. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We always want something. We always want more. We're never happy with what we have. So how are you today? Where are you today? Where are you spiritually speaking? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend the rest of your life? Well, I came in here, I felt pretty good. I mean, I'm like anybody else. And then this man on the platform tells me I'm a sinner. Oh, what's he talking about? That bothers me. I mean, I have an identity. And I have needs. My brother, Arthur, some of you know him. And we grew up in a family that was non-Christian. My mother was a non-practicing Catholic. My dad was a non-practicing Mormon. So we had all kinds of weird ideas. When Arthur went to college, my dad was livid. He hated education. But Arthur claimed there was no God. God didn't exist. And so we went to children's meetings, gospel meetings. And that's the first time I'd heard the gospel. I didn't realize it was the gospel. I was only 6 years old or 7 years old. But at those gospel meetings, Arthur and Irv went forward, but that didn't mean anything. Did they meet God really? Well, last year I had a conversation with my brother. He's changed his position from being an atheist to an agnostic. And he said, the trouble, Bob, with our society, brand new revelation, is human nature. Really, Art? Al and I have been telling you that for 30 years. Human nature, he wouldn't call it sin. There's something wrong with human nature. It always tends to do what is not right. It always tends to go down. Oh, Arthur, there's hope for you. Now. It's true. What he had to say was absolutely true. It's human nature. We're out of sync with God. We're wayward. We're lost. And we need him. And we need to come to the Lord Jesus as he really is. Who is this Lord Jesus? He's the one sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world. And to do that, this one from the Father, this Lord Jesus, had to suffer for our sins. He had to be crucified. And it's at the crucifixion, at the cross of Jesus Christ, where the sinner must come, where you must come, where I must come. In our helplessness, in our hopelessness, in our emptiness, in our real me. And then I must see the Lord Jesus as God manifested in the flesh, dying for my sins. And then what do I have to do? I have to do simply this. I have to say to Jesus Christ, Jesus, you died for my sins. I'm lost. You're the Savior. I want you to be my Savior. I believe that what you're doing on this cross is for me, so that I might become right with God. You are the only Savior in the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's exclusive. We're not here in comparative religion right now. The only access to heaven, to the Father, is through Jesus Christ the Son. How? By his work on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Well, if I do that, if I trust in the Lord Jesus, what happens? Your life is transformed. This is the power, the dynamite of the gospel. Your life is transformed and you become a new creature, creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Your whole perspective changes. Your whole life changes. You're still a sinner. You're not perfect, but you're a sinner saved by God's grace. A man came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus, John chapter 3. And he talks to Jesus and says, good master, we know you come from God by the things that you do. And Jesus looks at this man who was a rabbi, who was learned. And he says to this man, listen to me, you must be born again. Well, that rabbi, think of all the tradition that was in his life. Think of all that he had been taught, all the things he would cling to. We don't want to get rid of those things. And he said, in effect, must I start at zero? Must I enter into my mother's womb again and be born? I don't want to. It's too hard to take. I can't start over. We were in Nagaspe. We were visiting this gentleman in his 70s. And we brought to him the fact that salvation is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. It's a gift of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, it's a gift. I can't give up my good works. If this were my good works, this house I live in, it would be full of my good works. I don't want to give that up. You see, he's meeting the wrong Jesus. And as our brother said before he sang, we're all going to meet him someday. And those who have trusted him in simple faith are going to meet him as their Lord and Savior. And he's going to say to us, well done, come on in. But those who are depending on things and works and self-righteousness and some other philosophy, some other point of view, are going to be cast out. I don't like to talk about this, but you're going to be cast out into outer darkness. Every once in a while, Carolyn and I will get together and we'll talk about this, and we'll talk about this with friends. What do you think? We were talking about this with Ed and Dorothy as well. What is it going to be like in heaven? What is it going to be like with the Lord Jesus forever and ever? And our faces were lighted up and had smiles. And, oh, we don't know exactly all the details, but it's going to be wonderful to be able to converse with each other in glorified bodies before the throne of God. What a joy. But what about those who aren't going to be there? What about those who have, because of their own foolishness and their own wills and their own vanity, have rejected the salvation provided through the Lord Jesus Christ? They're going to be cast into outer darkness, where they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, we don't like to talk about this. You don't hear too much about hell today in preaching. But I try to imagine what that would be like. Can you imagine? Listen to me. Can you imagine yourself forever in darkness, fully conscious, and in terrible suffering? Well, we can imagine that for a few minutes. We could probably imagine that going on for a couple of days. But endless, without time, forever damned. Why? Because we didn't believe in the right Jesus. Because we let things overtake our thinking in our lives. So the Lord Jesus illustrates what he's trying to say by a parable. And he told them this parable. There were others gathered now. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones that I will store all my grain in and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Wow, that's America. That's North America. That's Canada. That's what we want. That's where the stock market's there and our savings are there, and we want to have a life that is a life of ease. Why not? We deserve it. That's our right. And we want to eat, drink, and be merry. I don't think anybody wants to be miserable. I don't think anybody wants to go hungry. No one wants to be naked. No one wants to be out in the cold and freezing. No one wants to have a sleet storm. You know, when you're without electricity for 21 days, that's tough. No heat. You put those logs on that little fireplace that you've got, and you put it in there. Every 2 hours you can't sleep because you got to put that log in the fireplace. In the basement is some of the smoke gets into the basement. And you get up every morning and your whole perspective is different. Are you going to freeze to death? Are you going to make it through the day? And you look out and you want to get help from somebody outside, and all the trees are down and you can't walk on the streets, and everybody else is in the same misery you are. And they're telling people to get out of their homes. People don't want to leave their homes, but if they stay in their homes, they're going to freeze to death. And they go into these big places where they have all the cots, and there's 1,500 people sleeping in the same gymnasium. And you begin to think, what is really important in life? When everything, you're stripped down to nothing. Sad to say, third world countries, there are people who live like this every day of their lives. They have nothing. The only thing they live for is that one meal a day. That's why I say this type of message cannot be given necessarily to that type of people, but to you who have everything. To you who are right there, ease and drink, and we can be merry, and we can go to games, and we can go see the Badgers, and we can look at sports, and we can talk about these things that are meaningless, really. But we have nothing else to talk about, nothing else to do. And it's so hard to reach people like you when you have so much. You don't want to talk about sin. You don't want to talk about... You don't want to go through tragedy. You don't want anything to happen to you. You are in a wonderful, wonderful society. And God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to present to you His Son. He wants to present to you your nature, your sinfulness, your hopelessness, your helplessness. All that's going to pass. All this wonderful so-called materialistic life that you enjoy is going to pass, and then you're going to face reality, and it may be too late. Don't be cast into outer darkness, please. I plead with you. Trust in the Lord Jesus now. Don't be like this man. Oh, I've got so much. I don't know what to do with everything. I've got all these barns and all this grain, grains and barns. And that's all we think about, grains and barns all our lives. Grains and barns. That's all we've got. Just keep putting the grain in the barns. And when the barns are full, get some bigger barns and get some more grain into the bigger barns. And we don't think about our soul. Verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool." Oh, you don't hear that much in Scripture. You don't see that in Scripture. Whoa. Proverbs, you're not supposed to call any man a fool. But God's calling this man a fool. "This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." In the Lord Jesus Christ, He became poor, that through His poverty, you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The richness of the gospel is this. The gospel reaches down to your soul. The gospel reaches down to your sin. And the gospel reaches down through a Savior. Let the Savior save your soul from its sin by your trusting in His finished work at the cross. And when you trust in the Lord Jesus, and when you see yourself as a sinner, it's not possessions. It's not the things that I have. It's the one I have. It's the person I own. It's the Christ of the cross. It's my relationship to God. That's what counts. When you're in a tragic situation, when you're in a tornado, when you're in a sleet storm, what gives you strength? Your relationship to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Even if you lose your life, you haven't lost your soul. And you'll forever be with the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. So it's just a decision you must make. Maybe there's some here this morning who would like to make that decision. I don't know. You would like to say, "Boy, I've been on the wrong road. I've been thinking about the wrong Jesus. I haven't realized that I'm a sinner. I want that Savior. I want that forgiveness. I want that newness of life. I want the abundance that comes through salvation and not through things." And I'd like to make that decision today here in this group now. Close your eyes, please. Maybe someone would like to say to the Lord Jesus right now, while your eyes are closed and everyone's bowed, maybe you'd like to say something like, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I've been a fool. I need Jesus Christ. I'm lost. Right now, I trust in the Lord Jesus as my Savior." I'm going to give you some moments of silence to do that. Be serious with God. Do it now. Oh God, our Father, you know every heart here. You know every need. You know every person. No one can hide from you. Maybe it's someone who's attended this chapel for some time. Maybe it's a visitor. Maybe it's a young person. If that person has prayed, you have heard that prayer of repentance, of faith in the Lord Jesus, and that person has been born again today. If that is the case, we pray, our Heavenly Father, that that individual will make that decision known to someone here, and even perhaps to myself. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your salvation. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.